Well, good evening and welcome to everybody. Well, welcome. It is extremely good to see you all. Happy Christmas. It was snowing when I was making my way in earlier this evening, so it's perfect for a Christmas carols evening, all right? So I'm glad you all made it. You're safe. No one fell over. Well, maybe you did. I hope you didn't fall over on your way in. My name is Howell. I'm one of the pastors here in the church. And I've met some of you on the doors as I've gone round. Lots of you will have had my piece of paper through your door. So it's good now to meet you all face to face. What we're going to do this evening, we're going to read the Bible together. We're going to pray together. We're going to sing together. That's a great privilege that Christians get to do all the time here. And we're really glad that you're joining in with us tonight. You know, Christmas is good news, really good news, for everyone in the whole world. It's such good news that when Jesus was born for the good of all the world, we celebrated and we haven't stopped. It's been 2,000 years and the whole world is still celebrating the birth of Jesus. That's how good news he is. You know, normally, usually speaking, right, you stop celebrating someone's birthday after they've died. The fact that we're still celebrating Jesus' birthday is because he is still very much alive and doing good for people all over the world today. I'm going to start the service then properly with a verse of scripture, and then I'll pray with you, and then we'll sing together. All right? So here's your verse of scripture. For God so loved this world that he gave his one and only Son, so that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gospel of Jesus Christ. We thank you for the good news that he is to the world. We thank you that he is good for all people everywhere. We thank you for the good things that you've blessed us with in our lives. Thank you for our friends and our food. Thank you for our families, our clothes. Thank you for all the things that we enjoy and that make us smile in this life. It all comes from you. We pray that you should bless all of these things to us, especially the good news of Jesus, that it would soften our hearts and draw us towards yourself, that we would know the hand that gives us all these things. Amen. Right, we're going to sing together then, number 171. 171. Now, if we sang the whole of all of these carols, we won't have a voice left at the end. So we're just going to sing verses 1, 2, and 3 of 171. All right? 171, verses 1, 2, and 3.
And sinners reconciled. Joyful, ye nations, rise, join the triumph of the skies with the angelic host proclaim. Christ is born in Bethlehem. Christ, my heart. Prince of Peace. Hail the Son of Righteousness, light and life to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings. Mild he lays his glory by, born that man no more may die, born to raise the sons of earth, born to
So we have our first of our Bible readings now. This one's a prophecy from the book of Isaiah that Pam is going to kindly come and read to us. It tells us about how dark the world is without Jesus and that he is the light that is going to come into the world, the good news of Christmas. I don't know if you've got Christmas decorations at home. I've got mine up. Just put mine up yesterday. Was it yesterday? Day before? Put up our Christmas, including lots of lights, because Jesus Christ is the light in this dark world. That's why you've got lights up in your house, because Jesus is the light of the world. Right. Pam, can you read to us, please, from Isaiah? Yeah.
The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. For those who live in the land of deep darkness, a light will shine. And the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding. The Spirit of counsel and might. The Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. He will delight and obey you. He will not judge by the appearance, nor make a decision based on hearsay. He will give justice to the poor and make fair decisions for his exploited.
Thank you, Pam. And now Dave's going to come and read, this time from Isaiah, but from somewhere else. So we've already heard that Jesus is going to be the light that's going to come into our dark world, full of the Holy Spirit, to give us the life of God. Now, what Dave's going to read to us from Isaiah 60 is Jesus Christ, the light, not just the light for the whole world is the emphasis of this passage. You'll hear it as he's reading. The whole world is going to be blessed by Jesus Christ coming into it. Now, the bit that Dave is going to read for us is the prophet speaking to Jesus. All right, so keep that in mind. The prophet is speaking to Jesus who blesses the whole world. Thanks, Dave.
Arise. Shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look around. Everyone comes to you. Your sons come from afar, and your daughters carried on the hip. You will see it and be radiant. Your heart will throb and swell with joy. The wealth on the seas will be brought to you. The riches of the nations will come. Herds of camels will cover your land from Midian and Ephah. Everyone from Sheba will come, bearing gold and incense and proclaiming the praise of the Lord. Kedar's flocks will be gathered to you, and the rams of Nebaioth will serve you. Foreigners will rebuild your walls, and their kings will serve you. The glory of Lebanon will come to you, the juniper, the fir, and the cypress together to adorn my sanctuary, and I will glorify the place for my feet.
Thank you, Dave. So there's the Lord Jesus Christ coming into the world, and his heart is throbbing as the whole world turns to him. The light in the dark. We're going to sing about that now, right, for the next one, number 176, 176, and we'll just sing verses 1 and 4. 176, and then verses 1 and 4, and you'll hear as we sing about the light in the dark that is Jesus Christ. 176.
Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie.
So the Lord Jesus Christ has been prophesied to be the light from heaven, from God the Father, given for the benefit of the whole earth. And now Mike is going to come and read a bit for us from Isaiah again, from chapter 42, about the Father who gives the Son to the whole world, and the world are going to sing for joy when they come to know him. And that includes my Sikuma. The gospel has reached this little village from all the way down there in Israel all that time ago, and the people who know him here sing for joy every day when they come in here. And that's what we're doing today. Thanks, Mike. Isaiah 42, that's the one where the Father speaks to the Son, promising him beautiful things.
Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations. He will not falter or be discouraged till he establishes justice on earth. In his teaching, the islands will put their hope. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I will take hold of your hand. I will keep you and will make you to be a covenant for the people and a light for the Gentiles, to open eyes that are blind, to free captives from prison, and to release from the dungeon those who sit in darkness. Sing to the Lord a new song, his praise from the ends of the earth, you who go down to the sea and all that is in it, you islands and all who live in them. Let the wilderness and its towns raise their voices. Let the settlements where Kedar lives rejoice. Let the people of Selah sing for joy. Let them shout from the mountain tops. Let them give glory to the Lord and proclaim his praise in the islands.
I love that one. The Father speaking to the Son, saying the whole world is going to rejoice when I give you to the world. Now, he does come into the world, doesn't he? The Lord Jesus Christ is born. And even when he was a baby, he was taken into the temple in Jerusalem. Some of you will know this story. The baby Jesus goes into the temple, and there's an old man there called Simeon who recognizes him. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he recognizes that this little baby is none other than the Son of God, promised to bring joy and light and life to the whole world. Now, Ping Yan is going to come and read to us. Is that okay, Ping Yan? Yeah? From Luke 2. We'll read about that now, where Simeon recognizes Jesus. Thank you, Ping Yan.
Now, there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It has been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he would see the Lord Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory of your people Israel."
So just as prophesied, the Lord Jesus came into the world, and that man Simeon saw him and recognized him as the light for all the nations. And that's including us here today. Now what's next? We're going to sing again. Number 172. 172, verses 1, 2, and 4. So the prophets of old told the story that the Father would send his Son to be a light and a Savior for the whole dark world. He's born in Bethlehem. He's recognized to be this light for the whole world. And to sort of put the cherry on the top of the cake, as it were, and seal that full, there were representatives from the whole world who came to meet baby Jesus and recognize, yep, this one is the Son of God come to be the Savior of the world. We read about that in Matthew 2 that our brother Vince is going to come and read for us now, if that's all right. Representatives of the whole world, these are the wise men that come from the furthest corners of the world to meet and worship the Lord Jesus. Thanks, Vince.
After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when he rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him, when he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be shepherd of my people, Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star and they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to the country by another route.
Now, I've come up here because I get to speak to you now. That's part of my privilege of being the pastor. When you get an audience into the church, you get to speak to them. And so that's what I'm going to do for you now, just for a few minutes, all right, to tell you a bit more about the Christmas story and all the messages, the readings that we've just had. But before we do that, all right, before I speak to you for a bit, let's pray together, shall we? Let's speak to God in heaven. God in heaven, our Heavenly Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for being so good to us and being so good to our world. Lord, it was such a dark place, and all humanity was otherwise lost, and we didn't know what we were doing or where we were going, even where we came from, and we were ignorant about the truth, about who you are and who we are and why we're here. And yet, Father, in your love and in your mercy and your pity, you sent us Jesus Christ, your only Son. Lord, that was such a gracious, such a merciful gift. You needn't have given him at all, and yet you gave him. You gave him up completely. You held nothing back, but you gave us even your own self, Father, in him. And now, Father, because Jesus Christ has appeared to us, lives are being changed. Those who recognize him and know him are totally different now. We are full of light instead of darkness. We do good things instead of evil things, Lord. And, oh Lord, how wonderful this is. We are completely free, free from guilt, free from the fear of death, free from worrying about our present and our future, free from such pressures that we put on ourselves and others do as well, because of you and your gospel, because of Jesus Christ. Thank you for the freedom that he gives to those who know him. We want to ask you, Father, to bless us and bless all of Mysacumma and the surrounding areas with all of these blessings. We pray that you should give to us all that we need. The money that we need, we pray, Lord, you'd give it to us. Our jobs that we need, Lord, and our families, all the things that make us happy, Lord, we want to ask you to continue to give these to us. bless our homes to us and our jobs, our friends and our families. Father, you have enriched us in every way. There's nothing really that we need. We don't know what it is really to be very hungry or thirsty or even to worry about our health and things because you have supplied so much to us. But Lord, we want you to give us on top of all these things, especially, Father, that you would give us Jesus Christ so that we would know him, that we'd know him to be the light of the world, that we'd know the forgiveness of sins that can be had only in his name, that we would know the eternal life that he has to give, that we would know, Father, the Holy Spirit, who he gives to all who ask for him. We, Father, ask that you would give us Jesus Christ, that we might know the length and the breadth, the depth and the height of the love of God towards us sinners. Father, to that end, we ask that you should hear the confession of our own sins. Lord, only you really know how deep the sins go, how dark our hearts can be. Father, if we started to list the things that we have done and thought and said that have horrified even ourselves, let alone the things that grieve and horrify you, we'd be here for an awfully long time and we'd miss them out because of our own blindness. Only you really know how wicked we have been. Lord, we must conclude that our hearts are crooked and we cannot help but do what is wrong. And so we thank you, Father, that for all those who confess their sins, you are faithful and just to forgive them their sins and cleanse them from all unrighteousness. We pray then that you should give us true confession and true repentance, that we would turn away from sins and to the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in him for the forgiveness of our sins. Lord, be merciful to me, the sinner. Give me life. Give me the Holy Spirit. We ask you, Lord, to do these things for us, for Jesus Christ's glory, that we would be born anew and remade into his image. And we pray that you do it for our good. Amen. Amen. Now, the passages that we've read this evening, there's a theme that's running through them, isn't there? We talk about light that's coming into the world that is Jesus Christ. And we talked about him being a blessing to the whole world. The whole world. And that's what we're thinking about. This morning, we were in here singing praises, singing for joy because of what Jesus has done for us. And we talked about what happens on the news. And we concluded together this morning that there's only really bad news going on. I don't know if you guys watch the news much. You listen to it on the radio. It's always bad news, isn't it? Always bad news. Whether it's politics or wars in Ukraine or the financial situation here or the buses have crashed, the NHS is broken, the world's going to end in 100 years and all that. It's all bad news. But Christmas always seems to brighten that up. I don't know what's going on in your lives or in the worlds in which you live, but Christmas just always makes things better. At least it's Christmas. No matter how bad things get, Christmas just helps. You know, there are soldiers on the front line in different parts of the world. We think Ukraine, don't we? And on both sides, there are soldiers who are under fire, fearing for their lives, and they got a smile because it's Christmas. Christmas is such good news that even these people are smiling. It's a shaft of light in a dark world. Like I said earlier, the reason that you have lights on your Christmas trees is because of Jesus Christ, the light in the dark. It is the best news, better than anything else in all the world, because it is from another world, the greatest news you've ever heard. It is the good news that God the Father has so loved this dark, bad news world, and so loved us in our dead-end lives that always go wrong and full of all of our mistakes and stupidness, that he has sent his only Son as our Savior, Jesus Christ. Christmas is the good news that Jesus is God stepping into our world, in our bodies, as it were, in our flesh and blood, becoming like us to save us from our own selves and from the darkness that is in the world. All the darkness that is out there and all that bad news, all the darkness that is in our own hearts, and let's be honest, there's a lot of that, he became completely familiar with. And he took it even into himself, so that the Bible calls him the man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. and for our sins he was stricken and smitten. He took all of our sins into himself, the Bible says, and it did to him what it does to us. It killed him. He lived our life, and he died our death. This is the good news. He died in the dark so that you and I might live in the light. When we believe in him, when we follow him, he gives us his Holy Spirit so that we can live lives of light instead. That's the good news. You know, just as the sun rises in the morning and the light touches everything in all the world, so Jesus Christ, the Son of God, has risen over the world, and it has basked this world in good news. And as people like you and me believe this good news, it's like the sun rises in our hearts, and we become people who are light on the inside, and our lives become light too. Do you think our world, with all of its bad news, is getting a bit fragmented? You get this sense that everything's sort of breaking up and splitting up into different groups. There's polarizations and factions and clans and parties and all that sort of thing. Do you think it's a coincidence that the world just seems to be breaking up at the same rate at which it's turning its back on Christianity and Jesus Christ? I'll leave that with you. At every single fault line, people are being separated. And it's not just in war-torn places, but it's places like Maesacuma. We're pulling apart from each other. Even in our own homes, we can't get on. The gaps between families are broadening. This street doesn't speak to this street. And this family falls out with this family. There's even talk of what they call a chosen family. Have you heard of this? You can disown your own family and pick your own family that you want, a chosen family. The idea that you can disown family and pick a new one. You know, the divorce rates are going up as husbands and wives separate. And connected to that, there are more children going into care than ever before. Because the relationship between parents and their children is breaking down as well. Society's fragmenting. The LGBT agenda, I don't know what you think about that. But whatever you think about it, you've got to agree that it's separating people. You're either an ally or a foe, an enemy. And don't get me started on the politics. Anyone come to your door apart from me recently? Vote this, vote that, vote the other. The wedges that are driving between people are getting fatter and fatter. People are separating over COVID and racism and feminism and ecology, whether the world's going to end or not, whether it's hot or cold, whether fat is healthy or unhealthy. Everything is up for debate and it's splitting people up. Gone are the days, right, when we used to fight over Marmite and Twiglets. That was what we talked about at Christmas. But now things have got much more serious. Have you heard the saying, friends don't talk about two things? What is it? Religion and politics. Because they separate. At Christmas time, we have the good news that the Lord Jesus Christ has come into the world to do the opposite of all of that. And despite all of the differences that there are between us, he brings people together, as we had in those readings, people from all over the world being joined up in him. He's looking down from heaven, as it were, and he sees us tearing each other apart and building big walls between each other so that we don't meet each other. Do you remember the Berlin Wall? And there's one in Jerusalem, and there's walls like that all over the world, separating people. The Bible has a great verse in the book of Ephesians that says, in Jesus Christ, the middle wall is taken down. And people come together instead of being separated because of the good news of Jesus Christ coming into the world, bringing people into a new life together. How many characters do you know from the Christmas story? There's lots, isn't there? If you take a moment to think of them, Mary, Joseph, wise men, all that, there's loads, actually, when you think about it, isn't there? Maybe they appear on your Christmas cards. Do you see how many different sorts of people were brought together because the baby Jesus was born, because God became man, bringing humanity together? Poor little girls like Mary, carpenters like Joseph. There's lots of tradespeople in Maesacuma. People like them, brought together by Jesus. And the angels in heaven, they were brought in as well. And do you know what they sang when they got here? Good news! For all people, they said, for everyone. Old men and old women like Simeon and Anna. Do you remember what Simeon said? This baby Jesus is a light to the nations. Jewish shepherds, Gentile wise men from all over the world, even the stars in heaven aligned and shone differently, as if to say to the whole universe, this baby brings everything together. Unborn babies in the womb, like John the Baptist, kicking away, this is him, he brings us all together. All of these people used to be separated by some insurmountable barriers, but now they are brought together because of Jesus Christ. You know, unborn babies, they don't really get on with adults anymore, if you know what I mean. Angels, we don't have much to do with them anymore. The relationship between us grown-ups and the world in which we live tends to be a bit hairy at times. They say we're damaging the earth. But all of these things come together in Jesus Christ, in harmony and peace, united in the truth that he is God the Father's Savior of the world. And that's all when he was a tiny little baby, just born, and he did all of that. It's great, isn't it? You know, as he grew up and he was preaching Jesus Christ now, as he's preaching in the world, he's bringing together Jews and Gentiles. That means people who aren't Jews. People who don't normally get along, he's bringing them together. Pharisees and fishermen, men and women, sick people and healthy people, religious people and irreligious people. You know, I'm doing the doors and I meet people. Oh, don't bother me, you can shove off. I'm an atheist, they say. Well, Jesus Christ brings people just like that together. Brings us together, doesn't separate us. Kings and commoners, brought together by Jesus Christ in his ministry. People from historically hostile territories, Jews and Romans, even, get this, and I mean it, living people and dead people, brought together by Jesus Christ. I mean, you tell me, who is it that is not welcome by Jesus Christ and brought together? Everyone comes together, united in the truth that he is the Son of God, come to save sinners like us. I mean, it's so different from the world, isn't it? It's constantly separating. Even like groups that you thought were really together, when you ask them a particular question, they all split up, isn't it? Resurrection, when he's risen from the dead, and he says to his disciples, do you remember? He says, go into all the world and tell them the good news about me. And so the gospel spreads through the Mediterranean in the first centuries, and it even reaches Europe before the end of the Bible. North Africa very quickly becomes completely Christian. China was invaded by Christianity in the first couple of centuries, long before Marco Polo. Ukraine was reached by disciples of Jesus Christ. Even Britain, they reckon, before 100 AD. The gospel spread over all the world, and everyone collapsed at the feet of Jesus Christ. And they said, this is the one who brings the whole world together. And these wise men that we read about, that Vince read to us, they're a little sneak preview of that. That even when he was a little baby at Christmas, people from all over the world came to recognize this is the one who's going to bring the whole world together. It's a lot of talk, isn't there, about inclusion. In the world, you see it on the news all the time, on Twitter and Facebook. It's constant inclusion, inclusion, inclusion. This is inclusion. That absolutely no one is barred from being summed up in Jesus Christ, known and loved and forgiven by him. It is the most inclusive thing in all the world, Christmas. Don't give me your nonsense about this way or that way. This is how we all get together. Jesus Christ brings the whole world together. There is nobody excluded. He's come to rescue us from the darkness in us and in the world. Now on that, I want you to think about the church, right? The church in all the world, not just here, all over the world. Excuse me. There's millions and millions and millions and millions and millions of us, probably billions. And what a varied bunch of Christians there are. And we all share one baptism. And we all share one table where we have communion. We all know one Lord Jesus and one Holy Spirit who indwells us all, because Jesus has brought us all together. Now, what do you think about the big building project that's going on behind Maesacuma? Any boos and hisses? You know, are they going to build all those houses on the top? Are we all happy about that?
No.
Yes. I was in their consultation meeting where they met in the community hall. And they were saying, we're going to do this and that and this. And they were talking about it. They said, we're going to do it like this because we think that this is going to bring Maesacumma together, they said. We think this will integrate the new build with Maesacumma as it is. Do you think that's going to work? Where, in Maesacumma now, where is the one place where people from this part of Maesacumma and people from the new builds up there get together? Where is the one place where people from Maesacumma and Hengoed and Cefn Hengoed and Ystrad and Bargoed and even the cities like Cardiff and Newport, where's the one place where all different peoples like this get together? It's in here. It's not on your Facebook groups. It's not in your community clubs. It's here, in the church. Because Jesus Christ brings all sorts of people from all sorts of places together as one. You know, if you come here on a Sunday, right, and you're very welcome, I'd love to see you, you'd make my year, right, if you showed up. But if you come here on a Sunday, you'll find English people and Welsh people. There are Chinese people and Romanian people. There are Polish people and Moldovan people. We've got Northern Irish people, South Africans, and they all gather here Sunday by Sunday, and they say, we are one in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says there's no more slave or free, Jew or Gentile. There's not even male or female. We are one in Jesus Christ. That's the church. You know, in your workplace, do you have an equality and diversity officer? Believe it or not, right, before I was a pastor, I was a pharmacist, and before that, I actually was an equality and diversity committee member. I used to look after equality and diversity in the place where I was. There's a lot of talk and energy and money that goes into generating and maintaining diversity today, but here is where it is to be found. Here it is, in the church. Not necessarily this particular church, but the church in the world. Every single age, every single nationality, every shape and size of person, every disability and ability, every language, every single person from every sort of hue of health and sickness and wealth and poverty comes together, united in the truth that Jesus is who he says he is. And he has given me a new life. That's the good news. That Jesus is the Son of God, who's lived a perfect life for me. He's died the death that I deserved. He's taken away my sin. He's given me a new life. He's given me his Holy Spirit. He did go to heaven, back to his Father, and he is coming again. And he will take me to be with him. And there's not a person on planet Earth who may not enter into that wonderful, unspeakable joy and privilege. Nobody is kicked out of that. Now, some alarm bells might be ringing. Whoop, whoop, this is assimilation. This is indoctrination. That's what's going on here. Well, to that I must tell you that uniformity is not the same as unity. In the church, nobody gets squashed down into the same mold. We're all very different indeed. And yet we are united, different and united. I don't know, right, what's your Christmas tree look like? Some people have on their Christmas trees all the baubles are the same color or something like that. But some people, I don't know if you're one of these, you like to get lots of different types of baubles. And every time you go on holiday, you get a different one. So your tree looks covered in all the different baubles. Yeah? You've got some at the back that do that, I can see. Your Christmas trees look like a big mismatch of all these different baubles. It's a bit like that, the church, you see. Everyone is different, but they are all united. And they all look fabulous while they do so, if you don't mind me saying. They look wonderful. There's this various, diverse group of people are all one in Jesus Christ. Our differences, in fact, make us absolutely indispensable to one another, the Bible says. The Bible teaches us that we need one another in our differences. It says, don't be bothering being like other people, the Bible says. You be you, and you serve as the Holy Spirit has gifted you. You need to stay as you are. You know, even more, we're looking forward to an eternity when our diversity is preserved forever. The Bible says when Jesus comes back, and tells us about the new heaven and the new earth where the Christians will live. And it says that every language will be there. And every tribe and every nation and every people will be there. It is not assimilation. What you have in the church is a family of different people who love each other and are united in the love of Jesus. Assimilation is something that the world does very well, and I'm drawing to a close here, right? So don't worry, I'm not going on too long. Assimilation is something the world does very well. You must agree. Do you feel this pressure sometimes? You must agree. You must agree with this agenda or this policy. You must vote for this party. You must look like this person. You must dress like that person. You must think like this, or you're cancelled. That's assimilation. But in the church, very different people are united by Jesus Christ in a new family. And we're all united in the truth about who he is and what he has done for us. But there's one great difference between people in the church I need to tell you about. It's very important, very serious. What do you think is one of the most important differences between people in church? Is it their different ages? We got everything from 0 to 90, I think, in church here. Is it our politics? I don't ask what people vote. Maybe it's our paychecks. We got some wealthy people and some poor people. It's none of those things. The most important difference, perhaps, in the church is that we're all different types of sinners. We've all done different things that are wrong. And we all struggle with different wickedness and evil in our hearts. You know, in the church all over the world, there are Christians who struggle with selfishness and greed and discontent. No matter how much they have, they want more. There are Christians in the church who struggle with murder. I've met some. There are Christians who know and love the Lord Jesus Christ. They've been forgiven of all of their sins, but they struggle with lying. Or they struggle with fraud. They struggle with cheating or drink, with their sexuality, about abuse in their past, or messed up families or addictions, whatever it is. There's nothing too dark, because you see, the blackest of hearts, the most sinful people, in fact, the chief of sinners were saved. In the Bible, they are all welcome to the church and brought together by Jesus Christ. Absolutely nobody, please listen to this and let it sink in. Nobody is excluded from the love of Jesus Christ and the forgiveness of all of their sins and receiving eternal life from him. You know, I go around the doors and knock the doors and meet some of you. And sometimes people give me absolute rubbish, right? I don't say that often, but there's one thing that people say to me on the doors that is rubbish. And you know what that is? They say, "Oh, don't worry about me, mate. I'm too far gone. I'm too sinful. I'm too wicked. I've done things that are wrong. You don't know me. You don't know how bad I am. God can't love me. I can't be forgiven." Rubbish, all right? I don't know if you've said that to me, but it's rubbish. There is nothing that can bar you from the love of Jesus Christ. There is no sin that he will not be pleased to take from you. Jesus came, and when he grew up, he said this, right? Some of the most beautiful words in all the Bible. This is the Son of God, steps into our flesh, and he says, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." All of you. No exceptions at all. Different sinners from all over the world come to Jesus saying, "Lord, you and I are very different. You are good, and I am rotten. Please forgive me and make me new." And the good news is that he absolutely loves to do it. He takes everything that we deeply regret, everything that marks our pasts, everything that makes us so sorry that we did it, things that we can't take back, he takes it from us and he carries it away. He deals with the consequences and we are free. There was somebody from Maisukuma who was converted quite recently. And in their words, "Jesus cleans us up quite well. He forgives all of my sins. He washes me clean. My suggestion to you all, and I'm finishing with this, right? Because I'm the preacher, I get to say I'm finishing now as much as I like, but I actually am finishing now, okay? My suggestion to you all is this. Keep your eyes and your ears peeled, right, for the news and the stuff that you see online. And keep an eye out for how fake, how fickle, how fragmented the uniformity and the separation is in the world. How short-lived it all is, and how prone it is to separating, splitting up, and dissolving into nothing. And then think about the genuine unity, the genuine diversity, and the genuine welcome in the Church of Jesus Christ, which is there for you. And then I want you to pick one. Either guaranteed loneliness, eventual separation, or you can pick a new life, a new family, a new home in the Church of Jesus Christ. Whatever you have done, you are welcome to come to Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of all of your sins, for eternal life and a home in heaven. Amen. May God bless that word to you. I'm going to pray and then we're going to sing. All right, and then we're done and we're going to have teas and coffees and all the food that's out the back, and I'd love to meet some of you and say hello. All right, so let's pray together. Let's pray. Oh, our Lord Jesus Christ, you are the light of the world. We know that it is true. You are light to dark lives. You are freedom to those of us who are sick and tired of trying to satisfy ourselves and to satisfy others. You are freedom from all of this. You are light in our dark hearts. Father, our hearts truly are so wayward. We hardly know what we want, but we know we've done wrong. And so we ask you, Lord, that you'd be kind enough to forgive us all of our sins and to grant us a home in your home that is called the church. When you come again, Lord, the church is the only thing that will be left. Everything else will be burnt up as insufficient. And so we pray, Lord, that you'd be kind to us and to our families, that you'd gather us all up with all of those people from all over the world together into your family because of your love and mercy. Have mercy upon us, sinners, we pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen. We're singing to close number 162, and I can't remember how many verses. 162, verses 1, 2, and 4. 162, verses 1, 2, and 4. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all now and forever. Amen.